get ready to amplify your light and shine bright, because it's about to get real. Join Spencer Jones, the Prince of Positivity, and get energized with this episode of the Jones and Four Show. Let's go!
Hey, hey, Energizers, Spencer Jones, the Prince of Positivity here, bringing you another episode of the Jones and Four Show. And I am super excited, as always, to have you here, to have you taking time to invest in you, into your growth, into your mindset. And hopefully we can help you live your life to the max, right? Get the most out of life. And one of the ways that I have noticed for me personally, how I have lived my life to the max is by learning from my history, my stories, the things that have happened in my life, right? The history that I've been through, but also from other people's history, from other people's going through their obstacles, hearing their stories, their hardships, and how they overcame them really has helped me on my journey, because I could take what they have gone through and learned, and I could take those lessons and implement them in my life and hopefully help bypass some of those obstacles that I might see or help me shine even brighter so I can help others as well. So I'm really excited to bring on our guest for today. We got connected through the CLA, the Connected Leaders Academy, and we started chatting and having virtual coffee, and her story is amazing. She's an amazing woman who has an incredible light inside of her that she is shining bright. And when we start to share, you know, our stories about, you know, who we were and the stuff we've gone through, the hardships and struggles that brought us to where we are today, I was extremely touched by her story. And I was like, we need to share her story here with all of you, because it is so incredible and so inspiring and heartbreaking at the same time that I know it can help you believe in yourself, to help you learn, grow, and live your life to the max. And it is such an honor to have her here to share it with all of us. So without further ado, please help me welcome the amazing Carrie Heddle to the Jones and Four Show. Welcome, Carrie. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Spencer. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, it is an honor to have you. And it's been awesome to get to know you over these last couple of months in the CLA group, and then just through the virtual coffee we had and just a couple of conversations here or there. So, you know, I know your story, right? We've talked about that, and I've hinted that it's such an incredible story. Before we just jump all into that story, though, why don't you share a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, and so that way all the Energizers listening can get to know you.
Yeah. So I'm originally from the Midwest. I live in St. Louis now. I just moved here recently, within the last 6 months, to St. Louis. And I do social media, graphic design, social media strategy management. I help with content creation. So I love to help entrepreneurs, you know, stay visible, get that visibility, get that strong visibility. But I also really enjoy helping them with community growth. So whether that's, you know, helping them grow a Facebook community, helping them grow an Instagram community. Community doesn't necessarily mean a group per se, but it could be, you know, your network, your, you know, whatever that means. So I have a CRM that I use, and I use that to nurture through email marketing, through social media marketing and email campaigns to market to the audiences and to help. And so that's what I help my clients with. And so I work with them on helping them create the correct content that's going to get to their audience, but also really focusing on nurturing those relationships. Like, I'm really big on creating those relationships. And it may not be a sale at the very beginning, but as you continue to nurture it, you know, it could eventually be a sale. And so developing that relationship is what's so key. So that's really what I love. I love watching people make those relationships and connections. So, yeah.
I love it. And I love that you are shining your light. And by doing that, by using your talents, your gifts, shining your light, that you are helping others shine theirs and connect with people who need them in their life, right? People who want to be part of that community, that tribe, that family, whatever they call it. But to whether it's a group or, you know, a following or just some networking, as you said, some group of people. And I love that you're using your talents to help other people shine. And that's how you shine bright. That's so, so amazing. And I love that you do that. And I can't wait to see it grow even more, your outreach and your expertise and helping even more people. It's so amazing. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Definitely. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
So when we were talking, we were talking about our stories and sharing about where we came from. And you mentioned you're Midwest and you moved to St. Louis. But now you've been, you're out in DC area for a while and you've had these different adventures. So, you know, why not? Let's just jump right in, right? Let's not dance around it. I suppose I already led into it a little bit, but let's, why don't you share your story? And you can share as much of it or as little as you like, but share your story of how you got to be the amazing woman you are today.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So like I said, I was from the Midwest. We moved to DC. My dad was sent to DC for his work. So we went to DC, and that's basically where I lived most of my life, was in DC. I went to high school there and everything. And so, I'm the oldest of four, and my mom lives in West Virginia. My dad lives in Pennsylvania, and then my siblings all live, in and around the DC area. So, one of my first jobs out of high school and, you know, I went to college for a little bit, but one of my first jobs out of high school was I got the opportunity to be a flight attendant for a major airline it was United Express. So they were underneath United. So they operated as United Express. But I started out working in the office and then ended up transitioning over to being a flight attendant. So it was great being able to do that. I did that until the United Express went out of business. They went out of business, not United, but just the United Express portion. So that was really great. I actually was scheduled to fly on 9/11, but did not end up flying because we had a maintenance delay. So did not end up flying, but, a few months later, I ended up in December of that same year, and I ended up flying, and that is where I met my husband that I ended up marrying. And so I had been talking to him. We met online, and he was exactly what I thought he was going to be. And so I was just so excited, like, you know, who's not excited to get married. So we dated for a while. He moved down to, he was from Rochester, New York. And so we decided to get married in April of 2003. And we just had so much in common that I knew that this was going to be my forever. We had this massive wedding in the DC area where it was more like a Gone with the Wind, kind of like the house that we got married at. It was everything was right there. So it was really cool. My dad's probably like still in deficit with the bill, but you know what I mean? but it was great. It was great. His family came down from Rochester, and we just had a lot of fun. And we were gifted a cruise for our honeymoon. So we ended up going, from DC to California. We went to Catalina, which is like a little retirement community, kind of like they have houses on cliffs. It's so, so cool. I love it. So, we went there, and then from there we went to Mexico and, spent a few days in Mexico. And so it was my first cruise. So it was a lot of fun. We came back, and, I don't really know what happened, but we came back, and we got a call that our account was overdrawn by almost $3,000. And, I was like, what happened? And he told me, he said, I think I just miscalculated on some stuff. And, you know, I was in that like lovesick moment where I was just like, sure, you know, that's great. You know? And so anyways, we were able to get rid of all that and figure all that out and move forward, and everything moved forward And then, you know, we were really heavily into the church. We went to church in the DC area. We went to a mega church that was in the DC area. And, we were really involved with that in our small groups and stuff like that. And, everything seemed to be going well. And then about 3 months in, we were driving back from our small group, and he told me that he needed to talk to me and that he needed to tell me something. And so we were, this is like, where were you when Kennedy died? This is like, where were you? Like when, you know, like what, you know, like, I remember it like it was yesterday. So we sat in the car and he told me, he said, I am addicted to pornography and I don't know how to stop. And, honestly, at the time I was really kind of naive. I was like, you know, how can you be addicted to pornography? Like I didn't really anticipate that it would be really anything that big of a deal. So, but you know, I just listened to what he said, and, I tried to figure out like what my next steps were. I went and talked to his family. And when I talked to his family, they were all like, oh yeah, we've known about this for years. And then, you know, when I talked to my family was more like, we've been hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. That was the word my mom used. She was like, we've been hoodwinked by this, you know? And so it was very difficult from that point on, because he would get very angry. He would get very irritated. He would get very mad at me just for any little thing, you know, that he felt like spurred his addiction on or anything. And so I ended up getting the brunt of a lot of the stuff from him. And so, you know, I went to my church, I talked to my church, I talked to different people. And everybody just kept telling me, some people were saying, you know, you need to leave. If he's hitting you, you need to leave. You know, my in-laws told me that in the Bible, it says that I'm supposed to leave and cleave, and that I need to stay with my husband, you know. And so there was a lot of noise kind of going in and out, you know, that I didn't know how to kind of figure out. So it was very difficult for me to navigate through, you know, and there was a lot of things that happened, you know, in the midst of it. I mean, there was multiple times where he pushed me. There was times he hit me, he spit in my face. You know, he would cup his hands and yell and scream at the top of his lungs into my ear. You know, it was a lot of trauma, like, you know, just going on, you know, in the house. And it was just, and so, you know, I really, this was my first time really dealing with this. So I didn't really know how to deal with it. But I did, again, like I said, I reached out to people that I trusted, my family, my church, friends, and everyone told me different things, but we were together for almost 10 years, but we were married for 7 years. So I stayed married to him for 7 years, just trying to figure out if I could. My personality is a fixer. So if I could fix him, if I could, you know, make him a better person, if I could figure out how to make him, you know, that, you know, a better person or whatever. And it just wasn't working. So, you know, finally it got to the point where, you know, we were losing income because he was losing jobs because he was, you know, his addiction was carrying over into his jobs and stuff. And so, you know, I remember one time I came home from work to see him and to try and have a conversation with him, try and have like, you know, I was going to take him to lunch and everything. And when I went upstairs, he was in bed with prostitutes, you know? And so there was multiple situations that you don't know how to navigate through. So, so it was very tumultuous. We did finally separate after many years, we finally separated. And, but unfortunately for me, the damage was kind of done. I had gained a tremendous amount of weight, due to the fact that I just ate. And I couldn't stop eating. And so I didn't know how to navigate through this, and I didn't really seek out the help that I needed to seek out. I left that marriage, and the divorce was final, and I went right into another relationship that ended up being 10 times worse. And so, you know, I think that's where I see the disconnect, because I was so frustrated and just so unhappy with the way that my marriage had gone. And I felt like such a failure. Like, how was I supposed to go and move forward, you know, after all this? So it was very difficult. So the cycle continued a couple more times. And, you know, it got to the point where, with the last one that I was with, that it got to the point where I remember a friend of mine asking me, like, are you going to leave? Are you going to, like, when's the cycle going to stop? You know, when's the stuff going to stop? And, you know, I realized that I couldn't stop it because I hadn't dealt with it. I hadn't dealt with all of the stuff that had, you know, that had been mixed up with it. And also I was feeling very sorry for myself. And I was feeling very, like, I was in a very much of a victim mentality where I was just feeling like everything was their fault and nothing was my fault, which, I mean, I know that sounds weird, but I mean, it's because they're the ones that were coming at me, but it was more me, you know, saying, well, they did this to me. So I have no, I should be able to be in this, you know, be in this mindset. And I wasn't taking steps to move forward. And so it just really, it really kind of resonated with me that I needed to take time to move forward, like take a step, whether it was a virtual step or a literal step. I needed to take a step to move forward and, you know, not be in the midst of all this craziness and noise and everything. And so I did. And so that's when I decided that I needed to do a drastic move, and that was that I needed to move out of state. things had just gotten really bad. You know, I had been pregnant, and it just had just been, it, you know, that had just not turned right. And it just, you know, and so many people, I think, tried to help, but I wasn't healthy enough to let them in and let them in to help me, you know, and get to that point of where I couldn't see myself as anything other than just a victim from all of this stuff. So, so it's been a journey. I'm working on my book. You know, since I moved out to St. Louis, it's been, you know, it's definitely been a journey still, even here. You know, I mean, I'm not in a crazy relationship, but you know, I'm keeping my circle very tight. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very, very small in who I talk to, who I trust, who I bring in. But you know, I've definitely had low moments even since I've moved. So it's been, you know, it's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all of that. I know it's not easy to share, and I appreciate you opening up and being willing to share that with us. It's hard at times, right? When you get into that cycle, and you know, you mentioned, look at that victim mentality, like it's my fault here, but that seems crazy. And it might seem crazy on the outside looking in, right? He's a person who's spitting on you, who's beating you up, but yet so many victims feel that way. And what that's, I would think, because the person doing it is making you feel that way of saying, well, that you did this to me, this is your fault. And so we, the victims take it on, and they take that blame, they take on that guilt and shame in so many ways that then they start blaming themselves. Well, I'm the root reason for this. I'm the cause for this anger, the aggression. I deserved being spit on, being beaten up, whatever those things are. And it's a very, very hard cycle to break. And as you pointed out in your story, you bounce from relationship to relationship of that same cycle, right? Of the people who weren't serving you, who weren't there to truly support you and love you in the way that you needed and are worthy of, because you didn't deal with it. You haven't dealt with that, with the emotions, the deeper inner work that needs to happen to free yourself of that. And you're not alone. Right. You're not alone in not doing that. I did not do that for years for myself. And I didn't have the abuse and relationships you had. I had it differently, right? In different ways. And we're not here to compare or judge or anything. Yeah. But we all have those things in our life that hold us back, those limiting beliefs, those thoughts, those traumas that happen that we can allow to cycle us and just keep going through, you know, rinse and repeat those relationships, those jobs, those, you name it, right? It could be different things for different people, but we see those relationships until you realize, hold on, right? And usually it's something really big happens, something shatters you, whatever that is, have you hit the rock bottom, and everybody's different. But once we hit that, then we go, okay, I see that this is a cycle. Maybe I saw it before, but I didn't know how to stop it. But now something needs to change. And then you start to rebuild and you realize, oh, it's this inner work I need to do. Oh, I need to learn to love me for me, but who am I? And let's figure out and be whole so I can create this foundation that then I could build on. And then after we started being, we have a solid foundation, after we started growing and building it, then we could reach out and have a relationship that could be a healthier relationship and start building it that way. But with doing that, it's amazing to have friends who are there to support you, but so many friends are much more superficial, right? If you, mm-hmm. I'd advise everyone to get a strong inner circle of, you know, up to five people. You can have more than that, I suppose, but usually it's two, three, or four, maybe mm-hmm. five if you're lucky, people who you could truly, truly lean on no matter what, and who are just want the good for you, right? They're not there for themselves. They're not trying to put their thoughts or images on you or expectations. It's they just want the best for you because they love you. And that makes such a huge difference when you have those people in your life to that you can lean on and support and have support you, and then you can help them as well in their journey. So let me ask you this. You mentioned that, you know, you didn't know what to do at that time when you were being abused by your husband and other relationships you've had. How, I mean, so many people go through this and it's devastating to see, and they don't know how to reach out. They don't know how to stop that cycle. So mm-hmm. do you have any suggestions or tips or strategies to help people break that cycle when either they're experiencing or maybe they see a loved one who's experiencing it? Hey, Energizer, I want to cut in here really quick before you start this episode of the Jones and Four Show to let you know something really, really cool. And that is, we launched another podcast. That's right, we launched another podcast called, you ready? The Daily Energize. That's right, The Daily Energize is available on all streaming platforms, right? So however you like your podcast, go find us. What is The Daily Energize? It is your daily jolt of positivity, of energy, where I offer you tips, tricks, strategies, stories to help you crush your day. All the shows are roughly 5 to 10 minutes long, right? So on your commute to work or in your lunchtime, whenever you want, you could pop it in, listen to it, get a little jolt of energy so you can keep crushing your day. Again, it's called The Daily Energize, and I would love it, absolutely love it and appreciate it, if you can subscribe and, heck, share it out with your friends. Give them a little jolt of energy. All right, on to today's episode.
Yeah, so I will say this. It's funny that you asked that question because many people have asked me similar questions in the sense that, you know, like I had one of my best friends, he was talking to me and he was like, You know, he said, I've never been through abuse. I've never been through, you know, rape. I've never been through any of that stuff. Like, you know, I've never been through that. So he said, but his first question was, why did you stay for so long? You know, and then how do you, after you've stayed for so long, how do you leave? Like, how do you leave a situation like that? And what I was explaining to him, and I will answer your question, but what I was saying, explaining to him was that for me, I tried to physically leave several times. There, the thing that kept me from leaving, well, there was multiple things, but one of the things that kept me from leaving was the control and then just the feeling that I had to stay, whether that was a mental or that was a physical, you know, whether he was physically pulling me back in or mentally pulling me back in, the control that they have over you, you know, is so, so real. And unless you're actually in that situation and you're experiencing it, it's hard to explain. But it's a crazy, crazy control that it's so difficult to get out of there, but it's so easy to fall into, you know, especially if you're vulnerable, especially if you're in love, you know, and if you think that that person is the person for you. So that's one thing I think that when I was going through this, that I wish that I would have had more resources available to me to be able to take advantage of and be able to go to and you know, have that resource to pull from. And but I would say, you know, one of the big things for me was the church was big. And again, I'm not here to beat everybody over the head with a Bible, but you know, I will say too, that I will say this, my view of the church has changed a lot since I came through this. Because even though the church was there, there was still some stuff that I was like, you know, I'm going through all this, like, what is the church doing to help me? You know? And so there is some stuff where I say, you know, I'm like, I don't know, you know, but if you're in this kind of situation, I definitely recommend, and this is hard, but I recommend not being silent. I have a very good friend of mine who, she has a company, called The Silent Fight. And one of her things on there, and she's got a whole oath that she talks about and everything, but one of her things on there is that she says she will not be silent. And, you know, and so I think that's one thing, that many people stay silent for so long and they don't know what you're going through. You know, they don't know what's going on behind closed doors, and it's hard because it's embarrassing, or it might be, you know, you don't know what to say or what. But if you're in one of those situations and you can find somebody that you trust and you can tell them, you know, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm doing, can you please help me? You know, that's huge. I mean, the first step is coming out and saying that you need help, you know. And I've never been through the 12-step program, but I know that the first step is saying that you need help. And just taking that step to say, I mean, I remember when I left for St. Louis, I was scared, you know, because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, even though I knew people out here, you know, and it wasn't like I just picked a place on the map, you know, I mean, I knew people out here, but still I had been in DC for like 25, 30 years, you know, I had been in DC for most of my life. So I was literally getting on a plane. And when I got off the plane in St. Louis, I was like, I'm here. What am I going to do? Right. You know, I mean, so it was, I mean, and I did have a place that I was going to stay, but it was still, I mean, it was like reality set in. It was like, I really just left this crazy situation. So I say, you know, taking that first step, like taking a step, and whether it, and again, I enforce that whether it's virtually or physically taking that first step, That's huge. I mean, and you know, taking the time to tell someone, whether it's somebody, like you said, I mean, keeping your circle tight, you know, 3 to 5 people, but telling somebody in your circle, like, this is what I'm going through and I need help, you know, and if your circle can't help you, you know, it, I mean, I pray that they can, but if your circle can't help you, then at least they can maybe point you in the direction of somebody to help you. But I would say, and I've said this on multiple podcasts that I've been on, I know that I'm not in everybody's circle. But if there's a woman that's going through this, then I'm totally 100% willing to help out. And I mean, you know, I mean, I don't, it doesn't, if I don't know the person, I mean, I'll help them. But it's the getting that resource and getting someone to help you and being able or reaching out and taking the time to really, really reach out is what's going to really help you and what's going to really get you going. And just taking that first step, that saying, I need help and I have this going on, because it's a life and death situation. I mean, many people have died from this and some people haven't made it out. And so I'm thankful that I did, and I believe I made it out for a reason. So, you know, I'm here to help wherever I can.
You're here to support others. And I love that you're a message away. Anytime any woman needs, you're a message away to help and support them. So I have two questions.
Yeah.
First question is, what do you know of any resources that are out there for people who are abused? I know I've heard of organizations, groups, but I can't think of them off the top of my head, which is sad and horrible. I should be able to, but do you know of any organizations or phone numbers people can call if they are in that situation right here and now?
Yeah, I don't know the phone number and I can get it for you. One of the big organizations that I do know of, and I've actually spoken to them, and I've tried to partner with them, and I may still end up, is, I'm trying to get their number, but is Thistle Farms. They are in Nashville, and it's there's a woman that's the founder of that organization. Her name is Becca Stevens. And she is, I have not met her personally, but I have several of her books and, I've listened to her on recordings and stuff. She's amazing. Thistle Farms is I've never been there. I've never visited there, but I've spoken to their director. I've gotten on calls with them and told them about me and just told them about my story. And, they actually offer like a kind of like a transition place for women that are they focus a lot more on human trafficking. But what I will say is, I will make a very bold statement in the sense that I, even though mine was abuse and it was, you know, with somebody that I knew and that I was married to or I was in a relationship with, I relate my stuff to human trafficking, and I've had a heart for a long time for human trafficking, for women that are involved in human trafficking. And so that's why I reached out to Thistle Farms. And so they help women that are coming out of human trafficking situations, and they have all kinds of resources. And I know Becca they've been in business, I would say they've been in business for at least 10 years. Cause I've been following them for a while. I'm following them on Facebook. And like I said, I haven't talked to her, but I've talked with her staff. Mm-hmm. And, they've always told me, you know, I need to actually regroup with them again because I haven't talked to them in a while, but they definitely are a great resource. I know they're in Nashville, so you know, and not everybody is in Nashville, but if there's a way to get to them or connect with them or talk to them, they may even be able to help you figure out something in your area. I don't know. But the other thing that I recommend too is, you know, and I will say this, I'll preface this by saying, I am not a fan of shelters. I'm not a fan of shelters or, you know, staying in a shelter or anything like that. I've always been very leery and scared of those. You know, they're there to help, like the women's shelters, the domestic, there's DV shelters, domestic violence shelters. They will keep you safe. They will keep your identity safe. They will not even tell people that you're there or anything. And I've talked to multiple ones of them here in St. Louis. Since I've been in St. Louis, I also spoke to some in DC. So that's another resource. I definitely recommend reaching out to some of the DV shelters.
But, at least you can point you in a direction, right, to go into, if not with them, with other local resources. And I was just looking up as you were mentioning, so it's thistlefarms.org. So T-H-I-S-T.
Oh, did you find the website? Okay.
Farms.org. Yep. And then Google it and find phone numbers. Also, if you are in domestic abuse, violence, and struggling, there is a National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that number, in case you need it, is 1-800-799-7233. Or you could also text START to 88788. But that's so many people go through it, and men go through it too, definitely. But I don't know the percentages, but I'm assuming a lot less than women experience domestic violence. So if you are experiencing it, please reach out, call the hotline, go talk to a shelter, talk to Thistle Farms, find organizations, people around you, lean on your network, the people in your inner circle, right? Call on them, ask them for help, and even just support of knowing they're there is beneficial. So my last question I have, because I want to be respectful of your time, is, okay, we're not going through domestic violence, but one of our loved ones is, or a person we care about, we know is going through it because they've reached out, they've shared it. What, or we believe they're going through it. Maybe we don't know, but we believe they're struggling and going through that. By going through it yourself, what would be a good way for the people who aren't in it to reach out and say, hey, I've noticed this is going on. I'm here to support you. What, because it can be scary, intimidating. We don't want to piss the person off. We don't want to make them angry or, you know, step on people's toes, but we're worried about them. So how can a person outside of it offer support? What's the best way in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Cause I think so many people don't know how to do that. And you have to understand that when the person, and I'm speaking for myself because I know how I was, but you know, you have to almost handle it with like a kid glove situation. They're very fragile, especially if they've been kind of indoctrinated into the situation, especially if they've gotten deep into it. You know, I was to the point where it just became like second nature to me. I was just like, you know, this is happening. This happens every day. You know, it's like, you know, like every day you wake up, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you know, you do all your stuff, you know, or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I always knew that I was going to be dealing with some kind of abuse every day, you know? And so I think when you come alongside someone, depending on the relationship that you have with them, I mean, if you're close with them, you know, I definitely recommend, you know, getting them by themselves, trying to get them by themselves, having that one-on-one conversation and just let them know that you're here for them and that you want to be here for them. You want to help them. You want to try and get them, you know, help if they need help, you know, but try and get them to talk, try and get them to, you know, give you some insight as to what's going on. You know, I think, that they don't feel like that you're like attacking them, you know? I think that's better just because they already are under attack in their own home. So it's just, so being conscious of the fact that, you know, yes, you're trying to help, but also just being, just saying, you know, I'm here to help you. But I think there also comes a point where as a friend and as a family member, you might need to sometimes take a little bit more drastic measures if it's, you know, if it looks like that it's, you know, I mean, if it looks like that there's, you know, a life and death situation where it's, you know, it's consistent like that. It's really hard though, Spencer. It's hard to come to someone and say to them, you know, are you being abused? Because the last thing they want, it's embarrassing. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, you know, they don't want any kind of retaliation from the person that's abusing them. So it's very difficult. But I definitely recommend trying to reach out to them. You know, I wouldn't necessarily bring people in that they don't know unless you've talked to them. And, you know, you just have to, it's a difficult situation. You have to handle it very, very delicately because they are, because there's a lot of uncertainties and you don't want any retaliation against them. You know, and you don't want the person that's abused, the abuser, to, you know, take something out on them if they find out that you're, right. You know, so it's a hard situation. There's really not a really good answer for family and friends for reaching out on that avenue. It's kind of like suicide. You know, I think it just kind of goes along with that. You know, it's like, how do you, but you don't, it's sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes you don't know what's going on until unfortunate things have happened. Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, I think I can imagine how difficult this would be. And I love the advice you give. And I think this is solid advice, is, you know, to be delicate with it, as if it's like a child, to be kind and caring. And the big thing is to not attack. They're already feeling attacked. So be very mindful of the language you use as you're chatting with them, talking with them, very calming and very accepting language, and do it without judgment. Let them know that it's this open, safe, caring place for them. Because I mean, I'll tell you, people in my life, who, you know, family members who should be giving me that safe place, or you would think would give me that safe, caring place, wouldn't, right? They would attack. And even if they try to be kind, and it's just the way they would say things or do things, I would take other, you know, differently. And that's not even an abuse situation. So be mindful of what you say, treat it carefully, be non-judgmental, be kind, be caring, and offer that support, and just be there to listen, because you can't, it's hard because you can't force anyone to really do anything. I mean, I suppose you physically could remove them from that situation, but that has a whole other bucket of issues that could go with it. But really, they need to take that initiative to do it. Just like what you did with your relationships, it was, you were going through that cycle and you kept going through it because you didn't break that cycle until you chose to do that. And so you could be there to support them, for them to lean on you and have that. And that I think is huge. So let me say it again. If you are going through abuse and you're struggling with it right now, not just physical, but verbal, emotional, mental, all of, you know, any kind of abuse, right? Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233, or you can text START, START, to 88788. And I want to say that, no, if you have gone through it, or you are going through it, or you know someone that is, you could share this with them too, but know that you are amazing. You are worthy. You're worthy to not be abused. You're worthy of your light. You're worthy to be alive, to be here, to have an incredible life. And regardless of all the crap that has happened before, you are enough just the way you are, right? Just the way you are. And who, whether you're abused, whether you've made mistakes or stupid choices before, whatever, you are enough. And you are worthy to be alive, to have an amazing life, not one that is abused. So if you need help, reach out to that hotline, right? You got contact shelters. You can look up Thistle Farms. Carrie's here for you. I'm here for you. Our Energizer family is here for you anytime. Carrie, I seriously can't thank you enough for being here and sharing your story. I know it's not easy, but I really appreciate it because we need to raise awareness and give people the support that they need because abuse happens in many ways. A lot of people, they think abuse, they think physical, and you're getting beaten up. And yes, that is part of it. But there's so much more to abuse than just physical.
That's right. Yeah. And
emotional.
And, yeah.
Right. There's a whole myriad of things.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so. I'll just say really quick, I want to say too, one thing, you know, it's huge. If you can come out of it, it's awesome. If you can take that step to come out. But you know, one thing I really also encourage is when you do take that step, follow through on your healing journey, follow through on that. And there's going to be people that you're going to have to take out of your life, you know, and that's something I've had to do. I've had to take people out, people that were pretty close to me, you know, people that I thought were close to me, you know, that are just toxic, that just didn't support my journey. And so you have to really evaluate everybody that's in your circle and, you know, figure out what your best healing journey looks like and follow through and don't stop because you're it's easy to come out of one situation and get into another and, you know, go right back into the same pattern because maybe you think that, you know, it's just going to be better, you know, and you can be comfortable, but taking those hard steps is what's going to be really helpful for you in the end. So.
Huge advice. And I hope everyone takes that to heart making those tough decisions.
Yeah.
So Carrie, how can people connect with you if they're going through a hard time? How can they reach out? And if they have any graphic design needs for shining their light and growing their community, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah. They can connect with me through email. I can drop my email address. If you want me to do that, I can. Do you want me to put it in the chat?
You could just say it right
or
here.
I can give it to you. I'll give
and
it to
then, you. I will say her email and links that she shares with me, they'll be in our show notes. You can go to spencermjones.com/jonesandforshow and just click this episode. You get the show notes and all of Carrie's links. But if you'd like to drop it now, go for it.
Yeah, I'll just give it. I'll just send it to you. I'll get it to you. And then, so they can email. If it's about domestic violence, they can definitely message me on Facebook Messenger. I'm on Facebook Messenger, so they can do that. In regards to graphics and stuff, I'll get you my email address and everything, and they can definitely let me know about that. So, but yeah, I'm so excited that I was able to be on here, and I love everything that you're doing, Spencer.
I appreciate that. It's an honor to have you on and
sharing
your story with us and hopefully inspiring women and men to know that they're not alone. If they're suffering, that they can get through it, they can overcome it. And there is a beautiful shining light on the other side. And if you have any graphic needs or know people that do, you have an awesome contact that you can now relate to and support her, and she can support you in shining your light. So Carrie, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you. Thank you. And to all our energizers out here, remember and know what I said. You are amazing. You are worthy and you are enough just the way you are. If you are going through a hard time, please reach out to me, to Carrie, to the energizers, to the hotline, to whoever. You are not alone, ever. So with that, have an amazing day. Keep shining your light. Take that action, right? You got this. And know we're here for you. So until next time, we'll catch you later.